message.
Thank you, Pastor. I've enjoyed immensely being here. Had a great time of fellowship with your pastor, and just appreciate so much the opportunity. Thank you for coming back tonight. You know, I'm just loving the way your instrumentalists play here. They just do a great job, don't they? And anyway, I was wondering how y'all did. How many of y'all took the kindness challenge this morning? Let me see hands. And how many did pretty good this afternoon? Let's see your hands. All right. I was at a church and the pastor stood up. I preached it on Sunday morning. He stood up on Sunday night. Yes, yeah, for testimonies. And the testimony just started coming. I couldn't believe it. They just started coming. And somebody stood up and they said, I was kind all afternoon, but I went in my bedroom and closed the door. And that way I couldn't mess up. So anyway, let me talk about my table back there for a minute. This is the message I'm giving tonight. It is a part of the Anger series, and I forgot to bring a full DVD set, but the full set is on this little flash drive right here. This will actually plug into the back of your TV, your smart TV. There is a USB port on the back of your smart TV. It'll plug right in, and all the videos will pop up. You can play them just like watching a DVD. Another one in the anger series is the demonic-like nature of anger. You will actually see me use a little portion out of this message in this message tonight, and you'll understand when I do why I'm doing it. And then I thought I would comment on this one. This is in the anger series. It's called Freedom from the Spirit of Anger. And there's a little detail that people would not catch if I didn't put it out, if I didn't explain it. I have this message on, it's an hour-long message on the reasons why I use the King James Version Bible. And one of those reasons is because if I didn't have a King James Version Bible, this message would not even exist. Because the text for this message disappears from almost every Bible version except the King James Version Bible, where Jesus said, "Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And that simply disappears out of almost every other Bible version but the King James Version Bible. Just a little detail there that is actually a pretty important detail, and a lot of people would not be familiar with that. If I had time, the other message I really wish I had time to give while I'm here, it's one of my newest messages, How to Recognize and Redeem the Opportunities of Life. And this has some truth in it. I've just never seen anything quite like before. And anytime I'm giving this message, actually probably more than any other message on the table now. And it really resonates with people and helps them to see life in a whole different perspective. A lot of people think that life is like this, that you're born, you live, you die, that's it. But I explained in that message that life is like this. You're born, you travel a little ways in life, and God will give you a key opportunity. And if you will recognize that and redeem that, then your whole life's potential and productivity goes up. Then you continue on through life, God gives you another one. And if you'll recognize that and redeem that, your whole life's potential and productivity goes up again. And that's the way your entire life is. And I explain how to recognize those opportunities and how to be able to redeem those opportunities. The best videos on the table are picture proverbs. I wish I could get every Christian family in America watching picture proverbs every single day. If you're only interested in audios, we've got some CDs back there, but we've got two flash drives. This flash drive has 239 audio MP3s on it. And after I released this, we still had people asking for more of the messages. And I went back and found every key message I had given for the last 30, 35 years. And I put it on here. It's called My Lifetime Library. And it has 470 audio MP3 messages. The message that I'm giving today are on there. And this will plug right into the USB port on your car. It'll plug into your tablet or your computer. And then you can download them to your phone. I actually have them on my phone right now. Occasionally when I'm riding down the road, I'll want to review a message before I preach it. I'll listen to it to do that. So that is available. We've got catalogs back there. And we'd love to have you sign up for our free monthly email newsletter. We'd love to be able to stay in touch. We sent out one this morning. What was the title of the one we sent out this morning? How to Tell If You Have a Blind Spot in Your Life. And then we also told about some gifts for graduates. We'll give you a free CD just for signing up. I'll be back there at the table. If you want anything, please come right away as soon as the service is over and get it. And then I'm going to be packing up and I'll be heading home tomorrow. Thank you, preacher, for letting me come to Pennsylvania. I love your state. It's a beautiful, beautiful state. February of 2005, a man wrote me a note and included his testimony. He said, I grew up in a two-bedroom raised house in Mississippi. My mom, dad, three brothers, and two sisters were at home. My earliest memory starts at about age five. My dad was a hard worker at a shipyard in New Orleans. He worked the 3:30 to midnight shift. He would leave home about 1 p.m. while us children were at school and return about 2 a.m. the next morning. He would sleep till about 11 a.m. the next day. Our home had wooden floors. My dad had a rule in our home, don't wake him up or else. I remember being second to the oldest at home, always living in fear of waking my father up by walking too hard on the wooden floors or banging something around or something like that. When we did wake him up, which was only a few times, it would be terrible. He would become very angry, yelling, screaming, and hitting with the back of his hands, and we lived on pins and needles, afraid of setting my dad off. This life seemed normal to us. We didn't know any better. Our friends' dads were basically the same way. Now, I'm 40 years old, married as a teenager, my wife and I both, and I started my family by ruling them with the same anger that my father dealt with. My wife was raised with anger in their home, but not as bad, so it's easy for her to see that something was wrong with how I handled myself. I mistreated my wife, my oldest son, who is 21 now. I lost a couple of good jobs and lost some good friends, the whole time not being able to see I had a problem with anger. 1985, I got saved. 1990, my wife left me, and 10 months later, we divorced. I still couldn't see my anger as being my problem. I'd learned to pass the blame to others by saying, you make me mad, or you know what buttons to push. There was a lot of pride. I would even say, who do you think you are talking to me like that? And I'll share more of that later in the message. Read off the screen out loud with me, everybody. Would you please, all together? Throughout the Bible, when a man gave himself over to something, that thing that became so much a part of that man's life would become an adjective that God would use to describe that man. For instance, a man who made wisdom a key pursuit of his life would be known as a wise man. And 30 times that phrase wise man appears in your Bible. The Bible also refers to a prudent man, a merciful man, a diligent man, a righteous man, a just man whose life would be characterized by justice. Then it refers to a foolish man, a froward man, the wicked man, the deceitful man. And the Bible refers in Proverbs 26:18 to the madman. And in 29:22 to the angry man who stirreth up strife. And in the same verse is the furious man who aboundeth in transgression. Interestingly, Proverbs 15:18 tells us that the wrathful man also stirreth up strife. An angry man is a type of person who, knowingly or unknowingly, is addicted to anger. You can tell he's an angry person because he's always stirring the pot of strife. He may not even know that across his forehead is written the term angry man, but God and others see it written there all the time. An angry man or woman is a person out of whom angry words, attitudes, or actions may erupt at any time. When I think of an angry man, there is one verse that almost always comes to my mind, and men or women with an anger problem should post this verse on the mirror where they see it every day and are reminded of it. Read it with me, would you please, all together? A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment, for if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. Man of great wrath there is harsh wrath. The Hebrew word for wrath is translated fury 67 times, wrath 34 times, poison 6 times. Deuteronomy 32:24, it is the poison of serpents. Chapter 32, verse 33, it is the poison of a dragon. So, what is the high cost of the poison of this man or woman's anger? First of all, I would point out to you that the high cost of anger is the time of other people to deal with the angry person's problem. To word it another way, the high cost of anger is the ceaseless occupation of others to deal with your problem, either because you refuse to see it as a problem, or because, and by the way, that is really huge, or because you refuse to take the necessary steps to truly get victory over the problem. Notice the verse again. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment, for if thou deliver him. This is someone else coming in and delivering this person from the consequences of his anger. If thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. It just keeps on going. Built into anger or an angry spirit are negative consequences, but those consequences don't just fall on the angry person. They also fall on every person around the angry person who loves him or lives with him. So what are his wife or her husband and their children and their friends continually, ceaselessly doing? They are continually delivering him or her. If thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. And it means again and again and again and again. The Hebrew word for deliver is translated rescue in 1 Samuel 30, verse 18. It is translated defended in 2 Samuel 23, 12. So the angry man is continually being rescued from the consequences of his anger by those who love him. They are continually defending him or her. Well, I know he has a little problem with anger, but he really doesn't know it. He's such a good man. I'm sure he'd deal with it if he knew it. You know, he's also kind and generous and hardworking, and he really loves the Lord. He gets angry at the children, and the mother says, honey, it's all right. Your daddy didn't really mean it that way. Then why did he say it? Well, he's just got a lot on him right now. So the people around the angry person are continually delivering him from the consequences of his anger. He yells at the referee at the ball game, but the ref decides that it would make it worse if he confronted him, so he delivers him. He lets it go. We used to have intramural sports at our church where I pastored. And you know what? It is so hard, Pastor, to get men to realize that you can be intense without being indignant. Yeah. Men seem to think that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance have to be left on the bench when they enter the game. But the Christian should always manifest the fruit of the Spirit. Too many men don't realize that the cost of losing a game is not as high as the high cost of anger itself. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment, for if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. And the Hebrew word for deliver, excuse me, shows up again in 1 Samuel 17. How many of y'all remember what's in that chapter? It's the chapter about David and Goliath. David said to Saul, that a lion came and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered the lamb out of his mouth. Same Hebrew word there, deliver. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment, I'll deliver him. And David said, I delivered the lamb out of the lion's mouth. So it's like the angry man, don't miss the graphic here, is trapped in the lion's mouth of his own anger. And those who love him are continually rescuing him from the consequences of it. But in many cases, he refuses to admit where he is or refuses to truly seek God's deliverance if he does know he has a problem. A man in the Bible, I believe, could have clearly been called an angry man or a furious man or even a madman, was Israel's first king, King Saul. Those around him were constantly delivering Saul from the consequences of his anger. In 1 Samuel 14, Saul would have killed his own son Jonathan simply because Jonathan ate some honey. Saul's men, his soldiers, stepped in and stopped their king from killing his own son. Twice in 1 Samuel 18, angry Saul tried to pin David to the wall with a javelin. In chapter 19, he tried to do the same thing again. Also in that chapter, Saul's daughter Michal saved her husband David's life by letting David escape through a window. She also lied to her daddy Saul about David being sick and made it look like he was in bed when he wasn't in bed at all. Michal, the daughter, was saving her husband David's life, but that's not all she was doing. She was also delivering her daddy Saul from the consequences of his anger. In chapter 20, Saul tried to smite Jonathan, his son, with a javelin because of his anger at David. That's four times that man tried to pin somebody to the wall with a javelin. In chapter 22, Saul, in anger, had Doeg kill 85 priests plus men, women, children, and babies. How is this madman king even staying alive? Others are continually delivering him from the consequences of his anger. I remember counseling a pastor whose son was rebellious. I told the pastor he needed to take his son on a trip and love him and praise him, just have a great time together. But the son, before they could leave, said to his mom, "Mom, I'm afraid to go and be alone with Dad. What if he blows up while we're gone?" The mother had been a neutralizing force for the dad and son's relationship for years. She had delivered her husband over and over and over again, but the time finally came when she could not deliver him anymore. And that is typically what happens. Eventually, an angry man will reach the point where you just can't deliver him anymore. May I ask you, how much time have others spent dealing with your anger? Do you even recognize the problem? Has your anger problem been a part of your life so long now that it just seems normal, like everyday life? Wives have delivered their husbands till they lost all their children. Then the mother, sometimes after 20 or more years of marriage, tired of her husband's anger, exhausted from so many years of dealing with the consequences of it, she bails out of the marriage itself. And a lonely man gets a girlfriend who foolishly thinks that an angry man is better than no man at all. So what is the high cost of anger? First of all, the time of others to deal with the angry man's problem. Secondly, is the loss of the angry person's own testimony. Proverbs 22:1, you'll recognize this verse. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. I wonder, how many people would continue to get angry if every time they got angry or spoke angry words, they were fined and had to pay $10,000? Did you know that your anger costs you more than that? A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. It's costing you the testimony of a good name. You wouldn't believe how many times as a pastor I heard something like this. Pastor Davis, doesn't so-and-so know that he has a problem with anger? Doesn't that lady know that she has a problem with anger? You would not believe how much of a pastor's time can be spent dealing with problems created by people's anger. I think I'll throw a story in right here that I don't really have in my notes. We were having an intramural basketball game. We had a double gymnasium where we could have a basketball game going here and a basketball game going here, or volleyball going here and basketball going here. Well, we had gone through the whole season and we were to the final tournament on a Saturday, and I decided that the safest thing to do, because I knew the tendencies of my guys to get angry, the best thing to do was to hire outside referees to come in to ref the games. So we hire these outside referees from outside our church to come in and to ref the games. And in the middle of that, one of my young men, I think he was about 19 years of age, he got angry and he didn't like a call that the ref made and told the ref where to go so loud everybody in the gymnasium could hear him. Now, if you're going to get angry and tell somebody where to go, then at least say, go to heaven. Please don't do that other. And you know what? He would not make it right. And I dealt with that one problem as a pastor for 3 months, and his family left the church over it. They were defending him from the consequences of his anger. And it was like, what in the world does a pastor do? So, two specific ways the Bible points out an angry person loses his testimony. First of all, by the foolish things that angry people do. Proverbs 14:17 says it plainly, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. Sometimes those foolish things border honestly on the hilarious. Issaquah, Washington. A man was coaxed out of his home by police after he pulled out a handgun and shot his personal computer 4 times in the hard drive and once in the monitor. That is the way you solve computer problems, folks, all right? In the 1960s, a man with a Chevy Nova collector car was trying to put a new stereo in it. He got frustrated when he couldn't get it installed properly, and he started stabbing the dashboard of his beautiful new car with his screwdriver. That really solves the problem too, doesn't it? Larry Darby wrote one of the best books on this subject I've ever read, entitled Are You Angry? It was a key resource for me when I was studying for this message. Larry Darby said, frustration is like jet rocket fuel for an angry spirit. He also said, I remember losing my temper at my garden hose. By the way, you want to watch the screen right now. The best graphics of any message I have are the next 45 seconds on the screen. He said, I remember losing my temper at my garden hose. It was a sultry summer day when that perverse piece of plastic challenged me to a duel. I pulled on my end, but it remained ensnared upon a distant tree root, so I angrily pulled harder. It became my appointed duty to avenge this act of defiance, lest other garden gadgets become equally rebellious. The hose was never the same after that. Neither was my back. Imagine being so foolish as to think that I could punish a garden hose. Who did I think was going to pay for a new hose or fix my aching back? Have you ever broken things in your anger? Did it help to solve the problem? Oh, yeah. When all those other toilet repair kits learned that I stomped the first one to pieces, they never gave me any more trouble after that. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. Think how foolish it was for King Saul to be so angry at David that he tried to get David killed by promising him his daughter to wife if David would kill 100 Philistines. Since when do you use your daughter as bait to take care of somebody that you're mad at? And imagine how frustrated Saul was when David killed not 100 but 200 Philistines and lived to marry Saul's daughter Michal after all. What a happy wedding that must have been. Can you picture that father who tried to get this fella killed and he's giving his daughter away now? You know, anyone who has acted foolishly because of anger. A man with a Chevy Camaro collector car was trying to install a battery. Couldn't get it in right. Threw the battery so that it dented the hood of car and smashed in the windshield. Somebody put it like this. You can't get rid of a bad temper by losing it. Angry people do foolish things. Somebody wrote this story, listen to it, in his autobiography, number one. Billy Martin tells about hunting in Texas with the star athlete, Mickey Mantle. Mickey Mantle had a friend who would let them hunt on his ranch, and when they reached the ranch, Mickey Mantle told Billy to wait in the car while he checked in with his friend. Mantle's friend quickly gave him permission to hunt, but asked Mickey for a favor. He said, "I got a pet mule in the barn who is going blind. I don't have the heart to put him out of his misery. Mickey, would you shoot the mule for me?" When Mickey came back to the car, he pretended to be angry. He scowled. He slammed the door. Billy looked at Mickey and said, "What's the matter?" And Mickey said, "I'm so mad at that guy, he won't let us hunt. And you know what? I'm going to go out to his barn and shoot one of his mules." Mickey Mantle drove like a maniac to the barn, and Billy Martin protested, "We can't do that." Mickey Mantle was adamant. "Just watch me," he shouted. When they got to the barn, Mickey Mantle jumped out of the car with his rifle, ran inside, shot the mule. As he was coming out, he heard two more shots. And he ran back to the car and he saw that Billy Martin had taken out his rifle as well. And he yelled at him, "What are you doing, Martin?" And Martin yelled back, his face red with anger, "We'll show that rascal. I just killed two of his cows." I'm telling you, angry people do foolish things. Two ways angry person loses his testimony: by the foolish things they do, and secondly, by the mean things that they do. Proverbs 29:22, "A furious man aboundeth in transgression." When the wise men came to Jerusalem seeking the baby that was to be born king of the Jews, Herod told them to come back and report later. And after God in a dream warned them not to, Herod was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children in Bethlehem and all the coast thereof, 2 years old and under. I don't care what your definition of mean is, that's mean. When a man does something in anger really mean, his testimony may possibly be destroyed forever. Listen to this from the Boston Herald newspaper. A minister is accused of breaking the jaw of a math teacher who gave his daughter a poor grade in conduct. I always wonder, where did the daughter learn her conduct from? The teacher tried to walk away from an argument with Dale Robinson, associate minister of the Greater Love Tabernacle. Robinson chased the teacher, punched him in the head twice. Security officers and other administrators broke up the fight. Balaam's anger at his donkey made him both foolish and mean. God was righteously angry at Balaam for going with Balak's men. God's anger is always righteous. Man's anger is always unrighteous. And this is a little section where anytime I preach on anger, I have to answer two questions that people have. And the first question is, how about, didn't Jesus get angry? And how about that verse that says, "Be ye angry and sin not"? So I'm going to take a little section here out of the demonic-like nature of anger and share this with you. I share in that message, the Holy Spirit will give you control of getting angry. Once you get angry, you lose control. Some people hurt and kill. Everybody who gets angry sins. Anger in people is always a negative thing. Anger in God is never a negative thing. The only time in the Gospels we're clearly told that Jesus used anger is in Mark chapter 3, verse 5. That verse right there. Some people say, well, wait a minute. Didn't Jesus get angry when he cleansed the temple? I don't know. You don't either. The Bible doesn't tell us. But in Mark 3, 5, the Pharisees could see that Jesus was about to heal on the Sabbath day a man with a withered hand. It's interesting the complete control that Jesus had of his anger. He really did nothing with it at all. It is simply stated that it was there. It says Jesus looked round about on them with anger. Now the Greek word there is orge. It is used 36 times in the New Testament, but it is never used in relation to any other person in the Bible but Jesus himself. But the same Greek word is used in three different verses to tell you and me pointedly to not use anger at all. Ephesians 4:31, let all anger be put away from you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8, put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. Let me stop right here, point out something to you. Sometimes I had somebody walk up to me and say, well, I heard one of your messages on anger. I still think a little bit of anger is all right. Now look at that verse and let me ask you a question. Is a little bit of blasphemy all right? Is a little bit of filthy communication all right? And no, a little bit of anger is not all right. And James chapter 1 verse 20, for the wrath of man, same Greek word, worketh not the righteousness of God. Now I don't claim to fully understand what I just shared with you, but here is the simple truth, folks. Jesus can handle anger, you and I cannot, and we better just leave it alone. And then people will ask about Ephesians 4:26, be angry and sin not. That is actually giving four steps downward into anger bondage or anger addiction. Be angry means, the meaning is be ye angered. It is describing a stirring that happens inside your soul. The Greek verb tense is a present passive imperative, and the passive tense means not that you're acting, but that you're being acted upon. It is saying they're coming unexpected bad things you've not planned for. They will stir in you the emotion of anger. That is not a sin. That stirring is God's flashing yellow caution signal telling you you better slow down, let the Holy Spirit lead your spirit so that you respond with patience and kindness instead of sinning by getting angry. Now, I'm going to go back to my message on the high cost of anger now and talk some more about Balaam. God was righteously angry at Balaam for going with Balak's men. Balaam was greedy and covetous. And on the way, the Lord sent an angel with a drawn sword, and Balaam's donkey saw the angel and refused to move forward while Balaam was urging her forward. Then the donkey banged Balaam's leg up against the bank of the enclosed path. When Balaam tried to push the donkey to keep going, the donkey sat down on Balaam's leg. And Balaam started hitting the donkey, screaming at her, and the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? Balaam is so angry that he doesn't realize he's probably the only man in history to be talking to a talking donkey. This was not Mr. Ed, the talking horse. How many of you folks remember Mr. Ed? You are dating yourself. This was Miss Ned, the talking donkey. All right? Now, notice Balaam, as he justifies himself to Miss Ned, his talking donkey. Non-repentant, angry people are always justifying themselves, and their justifications are often more childish than the children they're trying to justify themselves to. In this case, you could say that Balaam is more of a stubborn donkey than his donkey. Numbers 22:29, and Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would dare a sword in my hand, for now would I kill thee. Typical angry person, ready to kill somebody or some animal because of its own faults. And it's almost like there's a childish whine here. Miss Ned, you mocked me. You made fun of me of your master. How about this one? I'm your dad, and you made fun of me. Don't misunderstand me. I would never justify disrespect on the part of a child, ever. You know what? It is difficult to respect and follow a disobedient, angry authority figure. And the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast read ever since I was down unto this day, where I ever want to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And it's interesting, do you remember? The very first words out of the mouth of the angel, Balaam, why did you hit your donkey three times? Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? They're going to be Christians standing in the awesome presence of their Creator at the judgment seat of Christ, and the Lord's going to be saying to them, why did you hit that child? Why did you scream at your wife? Why did you holler at that employee, that co-worker, that referee, that coach? Then the angels told Balaam, if it hadn't been for your donkey doing what she did, I would have killed you, Balaam, and let you live. A mother of a six-year-old told us, I got so mad at my son, I literally grabbed him and picked him up by his hair. So anger costs the time of others to deal with your problem. Anger costs the loss of your own testimony by the foolish things that angry people do, by the mean things they do. And thirdly, it is the loss of your treasure. What do I mean? Anger has cost many people their earthly financial treasure. Have you ever known of somebody who lost a job because of some fit of anger? It's happened quite a bit. I read a while back, Wall Street Journal, this guy was making six figures and got angry, blew his top, and they fired him. I don't know whether you recognize this guy or not. Ron Artest Jr., American pro basketball player who won the NBA Defensive Player of the Year Award in 2004, and on November the 19th, 2004, he was at the center of an altercation among players and fans during a game in Michigan. And I'm not going to go into all the details. I've got it here in front of me. But 2 days later, on November the 21st, the NBA announced that Artest would be suspended for the remainder of the season. 73 games and playoffs, the longest non-drug or betting-related suspension in NBA history. He lost approximately $7 million in salary due to the suspension. His anger cost him $7 million of his financial treasure. And you know what's interesting? Any basketball fans here? I'm not really a basketball fan. Somebody told me this story and I looked it up and used it. But after that, he had his name legally changed. You know what his new name is? World Peace. And every time I hear that, I think he needed some of that peace himself. Mark Twain said, anger is an acid that can do more harm to the vessel in which it is stored than to anything on which it is poured. But the greatest treasures you lose because of anger will not be earthly ones. They will be eternal treasures. You may lose some specific blessing of God that you could have had, but you miss it because of your anger. Naaman the leper almost didn't get healed because of his anger. You remember the story? 2 Kings 5, Naaman is introduced as the captain of the army of Syria, but he was a leper. And a little maid from Israel was a servant in his house. She told him about Elisha, the prophet of God over in Israel. So Naaman went in his chariot to the house of Elisha in Israel. And Elisha didn't come out to greet him. Elisha sent word to him to go wash 7 times in the Jordan River and he would be cured. And when Elisha did what Naaman thought was a snub, Naaman was wroth and went away. He left because he expected Elisha to just come out and touch him and heal him. And Naaman said, "Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. Then his servants reasoned with him and said, "Look, captain, sir, if Elisha asked you to do something really hard, you would have done it. All he really asked you to do was wash 7 times in the Jordan River. Why don't you try it?" "Okay, I get it." And he did, and his leprosy was healed. And you know what I wonder? I wonder what phenomenal blessings people have missed out on because of their anger. Maybe they would have had a chance to teach or preach or an opportunity to be a deacon or a pastor. Maybe you would have gotten a promotion or a raise. Maybe you could have some great opportunity, but you lose it because of your anger. Perhaps the biggest loss of all in relation to treasure is not earthly treasure or earthly opportunity. Probably the biggest loss of all is the loss of relationships because of anger. Only God knows how many thousands, if not millions, of marriages have been destroyed because of anger. It is the plague on our society, especially in our good conservative Bible-believing churches. We have defended anger and promoted anger in our churches for decades of time. I've been in meetings when I was a young man, and I'm 71 years of age now, but I've been in meetings where the more angry somebody got, the more people liked it. And the more angry somebody got, the louder the amens got. And I've been in meetings where we were told, "You just need to get good and angry. You're not angry enough. You need to whip that belt off and let that kid have it." And I want to tell you, it was wrong. Only God knows how many children's lives have been lost from God to the world because of Christian parents' anger. God's warning to parents in Colossians 3:21, provoke not your children to anger. And nothing, it's a direct negative command. And the weightiest commands in the Bible in relation to the family are the negative commands. And that is a direct negative command. Here's what happens. Here's how we've lost. Here's how we've lost more than one generation of kids. All right, watch me. I'll explain it to you right here. The parent gets angry at the child. The child gets angry back at the parent. The parent, to control the child's anger, gets even more angry, and when they do, they win, they think. Does it work? Yeah, it works. What doesn't work is that the child then internalizes that anger, and then it comes out as bitterness and rebellion about 14, 15, 16 years of age. And they come to the pastor's office and they set the child down. And they say, "Pastor, fix my kid. I've been in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I've had him in homeschool or Christian school. We read the Bible and pray in our home. And I got a rebel. Why have I got a rebel?" It's because you break that negative command. That's all it takes. You break that one negative command, and that will do it. So, read off the screen with me, would you please, and study the picture as you do so. All together, if you have a marriage problem and an anger problem, if you don't correct the anger problem, then you can't correct the marriage problem. Now, study that picture and talk to me here. Do they have a marriage problem? Do they? Yes. Does he have an anger problem? Can they fix their marriage problem if he doesn't fix his anger problem? Not possible. Keep reading here, would you please? If you have a parenting problem and an anger problem. If you don't correct the anger problem, then you can't correct the parenting problem. We tell folks all the time, they come to our table, they tell us what the problems are. Well, the first questions almost always ask is, does anybody in the family have a problem with anger? And 90 to 95% of the time, the answer is yes. And my next statement is, you need to get the anger series. I'll explain that in a minute. But you need to get the anger series and start watching one anger video per week, every week. Go all the way through the anger series, then start over and go all the way through the anger series again. And what will happen is the water of the Word of God will gradually wash the anger out of the family's life. I was in Arkansas, and a medical doctor and his family were there, and he came up to me and he told me, he said, you know, the last time you were here, I got the anger series. We started watching 1 week. Just, he said, we had an anger problem and didn't even know it. His son came up to me later and said, I'm so glad that Dad got the anger series. He had a problem with it, but he didn't know he did. And he said, we really needed help in that area. Skip a couple of things here, save just a little bit of time. And I want to give you an acrostic of the word angry to help you remember what to do to get victory over it. I suggest you write this down and hold on to it. The letter A is admit the problem. Probably the biggest reason I know of why people don't get victory is because they don't seek it, because they won't admit they've got a problem. How do you fix a problem that you don't know that you have? I would say that at least half or better of people in our churches who have an anger problem will not see it. They refuse to admit it. They refuse to deal with it. I talked to some parents just a couple of weeks ago. Major problem with anger. And could not see it, would not see it, will not deal with it, and have had problems with kids because of it. The letter N, never quit. Never give up till you truly have victory. I've seen people who admit they have the problem, try to deal with it, but they gave up. It was so much a part of their life that they didn't feel like they were ever going to get victory. Let me ask you this. Would you have given up if it cost you $10,000 every time you got angry? Your good name is worth more than that. I really appreciate a man who got my anger series. He was in Tennessee. His whole family went all the way through the anger series twice. And he still didn't have victory. And he called me up and he said, I want to drive to Illinois and talk to you. So he drove to Illinois. We went out to eat. We sat there and we talked and he said, I don't get it. He said, I know I've still got an anger problem. And he said, the kids know I've got an anger problem. And he said, we just keep, he said, I've been all the way through the anger series with the whole family twice. And he said, it hasn't worked for me. I said, why hasn't it worked for me? And I asked him a question that is dealt with on this message, Freedom from the Spirit of Anger. I said, did you make yourself accountable to your family? In that message, I talk about how a man has a spirit of anger. What he should do is just allow his children, anytime they feel like he is manifesting anger or a spirit of anger, just come up, just put their hand on Dad's shoulder or arm. And that would be the signal. I think you're angry or you have a spirit of anger. He said, well, I didn't do that. He said, that's the one thing I didn't do. He said, I didn't feel like it was my children's business to be correcting their dad. I said, it's not correcting, it is appealing. And I said, you're not going to get victory without accountability. It's not going to happen. And he went back, he made himself accountable, and he wrote me or called me a few weeks later, and he said, that did it. That was the missing ingredient. The letter G, give your mate and children corrective privilege in the sense you want them to say to you, Mom, are you angry? Dad, are you angry? The letter R, repent without reserve. I'm going to illustrate that in a moment, but let me say right here, if there's somebody here tonight who's lost, you need to get saved. The most important thing of all is to repent of whatever is keeping you from trusting Jesus as your Savior and turn your life over to Him. Thank God He gives brand new life to those who will trust Him as Savior. And the letter Y, yield to the power of the Holy Spirit consciously three times a day. You remember that David said, evening and morning and noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Three times a day, consciously say, I want to yield to the power of the Holy Spirit. Post Galatians 5, 22 and 23, that gives the fruit of the Spirit. Several places in your home where you're continually reminded that you've got to have the power of the Holy Spirit to produce the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and so on. And every time you see that up in your home, ask yourself, am I manifesting the fruit of the Spirit? Is it something you really, truly want victory over, or are you just playing games about it? Will you really allow those around you to help you and to nurture you to get victory over it? I was sitting at the table, skip a couple other things here, with one of my best friends, Brother Lair Brown from Iowa. He's also an evangelist. I was sitting with him 2 hours after he buried his wife, Diane, a number of years ago now. They had had a wonderful 37-year marriage. He's remarried now, has a good marriage with his wife, Rhonda, still good friends of ours. He was telling me how his father had a terrible problem with his temper and it had passed down to him. And I was surprised. I'd never seen Brother Larry have a problem with anger. And he told me, he said, Diane and I had been married a year and a half. We were in the car coming home from Des Moines, Iowa. And I wondered out loud if I'd missed the Interstate 80 exit ramp. And Diane said, yep, you missed it about 10 minutes ago. He said, I looked over at her and said, you mean you knew I missed it? You didn't say anything? She said, you're the boss. He said, Brother Davis, I felt the anger start rising in my ankles, come up my leg, just keep coming up, but I didn't say anything. I just turned around, went back, got on the right road. About 5 miles down the road, I pulled over and stopped, pointing my finger in my wife's face and said, woman, don't you ever do that again. And a bunch of other stuff I wish I hadn't said. When I pulled out and started driving away, she was crying really hard. God smote my heart, said to me, Larry, you'll never amount to anything for me until you get your temper under control. He apologized to his wife and he said, Brother Davis, by God's grace, 37 years of marriage, my wife never ever saw the angry temper again. My children, house full of children, my children never ever heard me raise my voice in anger. He said, oh, it's still inside. I still have to pray about it, but it doesn't come out. You see, we've all got that old fallen carnal nature that it could come back at any time. Nobody's perfect. I've said to my wife and my kids, anytime You see me start to get angry or have an angry spirit, I want you to tell me about it. It's not the same as rebuking, but it is a form of appealing and correction that we all just need. We all need that. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. I've had to say something to some people. I've had people come up to me and talk to me. And they tell me they're living with a mate who's angry, and I say, you're delivering him all the time, aren't you? Or you're delivering her all the time. Yeah, we are. I said, you have to stop delivering them. The next time they get in trouble because of their anger, just let it happen. If thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. And there's that man I began the message with, raised with a father with a violent temper. He got saved, but he didn't deal with his anger. Then his wife left him and they got divorced. And he said, it wasn't until I'd been saved about 6 years, I was divorced, saying, God, what's wrong? Why isn't this working out for me? My pastor gave me a recording on anger. I don't remember much of the message. But that day, God changed my life. That man said if I got mad once a month, blow up, yell, and scream, that my family would walk around our home for 29 days afraid of setting mouth. You see, living next to an angry person is like living next to a volcano that who knows when it's going to erupt. But watch me, that volcano under the surface has lava flow that is continually stirring and continually moving. And the people around that person sense that moving and stirring of that lava flow all the time until occasionally it blows up. And an angry person thinks if he doesn't blow up that he's doing all right. Or if I blow up once a month or two, I'm doing okay, but you're not doing all right. The Holy Spirit reminded me of the way it was in my home as a young boy, the fear my dad cast upon my whole home. God broke my heart that day, and I realized I'd been doing the same thing to my family. That day I sat my children down and asked them to forgive me. We cried and prayed together. I called my ex-wife at her home and explained to her what God had shown me. I asked her to forgive me, told her I was sorry. She said she knew the problem a long time ago. 2 years later, my wife called me up and said, I want to come home. And I said, come on. And I never forgot when she walked in the door, she looked at me and said, I'm not the same woman who left. And I said, I'm not the same man that you left. And in December 2002, we celebrated our 20-year anniversary. It's hard to believe that a person can be so blind and not see something so clearly, even though it's right in front of their face. He was walking around for years with angry man, mad man, furious man, wrathful man, right on his forehead. When he finally saw it, admitted it, asked God for his help, God gave him victory over it. And God will give you victory over the anger when you read my points, please, everybody. Admit the problem. Never quit till you truly have victory. Give your mate and children corrective privilege. Repent without reserve. Yield to the power of the Holy Spirit consciously 3 times.